Let's pray. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Father, please help us as we explore your word today. Give us eyes and hearts to seek your kingdom and to live in your provision and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Ready? Coming, ready or not? When children are playing hide and seek, the seeker allows time for the others to find somewhere else to hide, and then he or she goes looking for them. The seeker keeps their eyes and ears open as they look for clues as to the whereabouts of their companions, and they search diligently for them until they find them. Then, whoever gets caught, it's their turn to be the seeker. It's not much fun if the seeker doesn't take part properly, if they just stand still and say, "Oh, I wonder where they all are. They might be there or they might be over there, but I don't think I can be bothered to go and look." They have to go and seek actively. When a rescue team goes out to search for someone who's missing, the search team, including those beautiful search dogs, they strain all their senses and search everywhere they can think of in their quest to find the person who's lost. The search team plans the project, allocates the search areas to different members of the team, gathers together the necessary equipment, and works together to find the missing person. They don't stay back at base, wondering and worrying. They have to go out and seek actively. At the end of our gospel reading this morning that Anita read to us, Jesus tells his listeners and us that our priority should be to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, not to worry about how we will live. Jesus doesn't mean that we should live in a careless, feckless fashion, but that we should not be absorbed by anxiety. And anxiety is a real bane in our society at the moment. He gives examples of the things we shouldn't worry about, the provisions that we need in life, such as food, drink, and clothes. Earlier in the chapter, he talked to his followers about not being absorbed by money and making it the be-all and end-all. Of course we need money to live on, but it shouldn't absorb all our thinking and activity. God knows what we need in terms of material things, and he provides for us. Jesus points to the birds and the flowers, beautiful parts of his creation, but with much shorter lifespans than we humans have. Jesus tells us that the birds, and it's translated in some translations as sparrows, and the flowers don't worry, and yet God provides for them. I've been watching the sparrows in our garden recently, and I've been filling up the birdseed feeder, and they gobble it up all day and use up the whole, they work really hard to get their food and drink. But they're not absorbed with worry. I guess that's because sparrows don't have enough space in their brains to worry. And maybe that's our problem as humans, that we have much larger brains, and some people have very large brains, and we allow too much space in them for worry. Obviously, we need to provide food, drink, and clothing for ourselves and our families. But God knows what our needs are. We're taught by Jesus here that we should not be anxious. Anxiety about what might happen, but very probably won't, takes up a lot of our headspace. It exhausts us and drains the joy out of our lives. It's natural to be nervous or worried sometimes, but Jesus calls us away from being absorbed by anxiety, as it's a futile activity. And some people suffer from terrible anxiety and depression, and they need medical help with that. I'm not trying to minimise that anxiety. But if we can lift our eyes away and look to the kingdom of God and look to Jesus, that will help us. When our hope and trust are in God and in his kingdom, we don't need to be anxious, because God provides for us in the way that's right for us at the right time. Instead, we're called to focus on seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will fall into place as we put our trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, what is the kingdom of God, and where is it? The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as Matthew often calls it, is the kingdom where God rules. It's not set in any time or place, but it's open for us to enter when we put our trust in Jesus and follow him. We have the privilege of being members of this kingdom, joining other Christians from across the ages and generations. The kingdom of God is dynamic, and it's growing all the time. In Matthew's Gospel, which is our lectionary gospel for this year, Jesus tells many parables or stories with a meaning, which describe what the kingdom of God is like. For example, just in chapter 13, Jesus describes the kingdom as being like a rich harvest of those who wholeheartedly follow Jesus. Or it's like a mustard seed growing from tiny beginnings into a huge flourishing plant. Or it's like a treasure or a valuable pearl. Have a look through Matthew's Gospel and find other examples. The kingdom of God exists now, but not yet in its entirety. At the end of the age, when Jesus returns in glory, his kingdom will come in all its fullness. The epistle reading from Romans chapter 8 this morning reminds us of the coming glory when God's kingdom will be here in all its fullness. Although we might suffer in this life, and indeed the whole of creation suffers and groans in its bondage to decay, Paul describes creation as looking forward to being completely renewed along with Jesus' followers, as we are given new bodies at the end of the age. We don't know when the end of the age will come. We could worry about it and be absorbed with anxiety about it. Much better to spend our time and energy seeking God's kingdom, living the kingdom way, working to grow God's kingdom through our prayer and witness. And it's not something we will accomplish in our own strength. It's through Christ's work in us and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who guides us, intercedes for us, and bestows upon us his fruit and his gifts, that the kingdom will grow. Our role is to walk in step with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, eagerly seeking the kingdom of God. Many of you will know that I was a member of the Girls' Brigade for many years, and so was Kate and Ruth and Wendy and others who are here with us. The international motto of the Girls' Brigade is short and sweet: seek, serve, and follow Christ. I think that motto would be apt for all of us, girls or not. May our lives be lived in joy and not in anxiety as we seek, serve, and follow Christ. Amen.